I'm Graham Sibley.
I'm Jan Bilton.
I'm Terry DeFellin.
And this is The Sound of Football. Another exciting episode of the Sound of Football podcast. Yes, coming into your ears as surprising as an exit poll. Well, Terry, Jan, it's been a couple of weeks because I was away on holiday and you couldn't be bothered to do anything while I was away.
That's about the size of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
While the boss is away.
Oh, no, exactly.
No sibling, no party, that's what we said.
Yes. But actually, the studio was a polling station, wasn't it? So we couldn't have done it anyway. You'd have just heard half an hour of people like scratching Conservative on their polling cards.
Yes, and not us stuffing ballot boxes, which is what we clearly should have done.
Burning them more like.
Yes. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, an eventful week anyway, things that weren't football anyway. But we can now go back to talking about football again now, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, yes. Nice distraction, wasn't it, from the outcome?
Well, if you remember last time, which was a good couple of weeks ago now, but the last podcast we did was about disappointing football, wasn't it? And and because of that, we did spend a little time talking about Newcastle. Mm-hmm. When we did get quite a lot of feedback from Johnny Bramley on the Twitter. Mm. Terry, if you want to go through it. Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. Your opinion that we are always after the next Messiah is one of the most short-sighted, cliched and untrue things. No sound-minded NUFC fan reads the Chronicle and we actively mock Lee Ryder. Try a bit of research first.
Whoa.
Bold words. Especially before coming out with your totally unfounded opinions about our supporter base. Not one NUFC fan has ever mentioned Klopp in relation to our job.
Our job. Nice ownership there.
Yeah, nice ownership there. Well, I don't know. Who's going to respond to that?
You brought it all up.
First of all,
us out of this mess.
Thanks for your comments. It's good to hear what other people think. I don't necessarily agree with everything you've said, but you know, it's your opinion. That's my opinion. It remains to be seen what will happen with Klopp. I don't think he's going to Newcastle, and there have been a lot of fans have said that. But,
he's not saying he's going to Newcastle. What he said was that it's never been said that Klopp's going to
Newcastle. I think, to be fair as well, we did actually mention that the fact that the Newcastle fans were being badly served by this newspaper and that article. Yeah. I think you said that yourself.
I thought that was the upshot of the conversation. Yeah. Was that we thought that this was the Newcastle fans deserved better.
Yeah. But anyway, Johnny, thanks for getting in touch and we've read you out. Okay, right.
We're usually terrible at delivering feedback from listeners, so thanks again, Johnny.
Thanks a lot, Johnny. And don't be afraid of chiming in again whenever we say something you think is out of line.
But do bear in mind that we are an improvised podcast, so yes, we don't research. We're just pure opinions, and some of it, obviously, will be gut.
So, don't ask us to do research, because we ain't going to do it.
We don't do research.
No. We just go on gut feeling, because most of the time, gut feeling gets you through, doesn't it, really?
Certainly gets you through an half-hour podcast.
Yes, it certainly does. And if that doesn't work, there's beer too. But this week we're going to talk about professionalism, what it means and what we expect from footballers. And should footballers be as exciting off the pitch as they are on the pitch? Should footballers who are, shall we say, flamboyant in their opinions or in just the things they set fire to in the comfort of their own bathroom, should they be controlled a bit more? Should they be tamed down, or should they be allowed to really, really express themselves? Yeah, and I mean, I think this year I've been quite disappointed that Mario Balotelli has spent a whole season, nearly a whole season at Liverpool, and we've heard little or nothing from him. He hasn't been turning up with silly hats. He's not been setting fire to things. He's not been wearing T-shirts saying, "Why was me?" What's gone on with him?
I don't know. He's just gone a bit bland, really, hasn't he?
Bland, is he?
Blandatelli.
Yeah. Is he the same person that was at Man City, Terry?
Well, no. But he's having a different kind of season than the one he was having at Man City.
Yes.
My favourite Balotelli one is when he was just driving around after the Manchester derby win, just driving around in his open top car, just high fiving, anyone who came along. That's fantastic. Well, Liverpool haven't had too many moments like that.
No,
he said.
No,
he does present the appearance of someone who is perhaps not enjoying his experience at the club. I'm sure he's having a wonderful time in Liverpool itself. It is a wonderful city and a great place to be and work when you're a young man. But maybe his experiences within the club are maybe sort of like curtailing him. Does look like they're having a bit of a hangover. Well, I say it. Yeah, it is only a bit of a hangover after their Champions League, after their great season last season, when they almost won the title. I mean, they are fifth right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so actually they're having a really good season. But perhaps by comparison to last season, it's a bit deflating.
Yeah.
They were looking to kick on. And also, I think there was a lot of expectation on him because they saw him as being, someone who would take the club forward in a match in the way that Suarez did.
Yeah.
And I think that was always going to be unlikely.
Mm.
And also, so maybe that's kind of what's affecting him there. But maybe if he moves on in the summer and moves to a happier place. I don't know what he was like at Milan. Maybe at Milan, because he was there at Milan the season before, wasn't he? Maybe that kind of, sort of mellowed him out a little bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it was like off the pitch. Do you think that we're missing characters in the game at the moment? Yeah,
I think so. I tell you why I think that as well, because I was when I watched the Barca Bayern game last week.
Yeah.
When Messi scored two great goals, one particularly good goal, and it was an amazing performance. But while I was watching it, it was like watching a machine in action. There was no real emotion in him. You can tell he's a very well-trained and well-drilled professional, and that's great for what he does. But it's an entertainment, and I sometimes find him a bit cold and clinical. It's like he's a footballer's equivalent of Steve Davis.
Do you think it's more the fact that he's operating on a level that we can't really understand? Because I think sometimes he is. He's like,
Well, he's approaching turning into pure thought.
He's hovering a few inches off
Zen.
The ground. Yeah.
It could be.
He's actually shorter than he actually states.
He's like a Radiohead album. He's ahead of his time.
Yeah. He only assumes physical form for football matches. Other than that, he's
and
pure
Coke energy. Adverts.
He's
just Pepsi adverts.
Yes, well, whenever he's working.
Other sources are available.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the Stephen Interesting Davis meme was something that Spitting Image cooked up in the 80s, where, obviously, this for international listeners, the world champion of snooker being quite a dull sport anyway.
Hmm. That's controversial.
No, it's not.
No, it's controversial.
Well, it's not really.
Chris Snooker's dull like cricket's dull.
No.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, when we have the Sound of Other Sports podcast, we'll have this conversation.
We'll have this out.
Yeah.
I think the whole second half of this pod is going to be about which sport is dull and which sport is interesting. And golf listeners, you don't want to be a sport.
No. John Hughes doesn't like golf as well. He's really going to be pissed off with us after this.
but obviously, if footballers are interesting, they get in trouble, don't they?
Well, yeah,
they get like banned from games, and especially if they do interesting things like bite people.
Yeah, there's a few things more interesting than biting another game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jan, this is obviously very important for you now, because obviously you come on a podcast every week, and you're thinking about content. Now Terry and I have been doing this for quite a few years, and we know easy content when we see it. And of course, when any player does something really mad, especially when we were doing the Onion Bag, that was like dream
was like,
come true.
Thank God.
Yeah. The worst thing would be if they did it on a Monday after we'd done all the stories. Yeah, if they all come out there. But usually we waited to do it on the Monday because all the Sunday newspapers had come out, and so all the real duty stuff would come out there. And when we were doing this, it was very early days of social media as well, so they weren't even like publicising it themselves. But now you see people the players are managed a lot more now on social media, aren't they? Which really does take a lot of the fun out of things, doesn't it? Really, especially when they start like answering the fans back, which I think is brilliant.
Or... Yeah, they're a lot less, a lot less interesting now. Alan Shearer joined Twitter today, didn't he? Did you read his tweet? His second tweet was, if he gets any abuse, he's going to come around their house and give them Newcastle tickets, which is
good for him.
Yes. Well, at least he didn't make the same mistake as Robert Huth, anyway.
What did Robert Huth do?
Did you not see that?
Oh, I've forgotten.
He was answering to an account called Cock or No Cock.
So I can spot his root mistake right there, and I'm not a social media manager.
The purpose of this account was just basically to put pictures of either models or transsexual models. And and for
in a very I've been on Twitter since 2007, and I haven't heard of this account.
Do you know what? I just followed it.
Reaches for smartphones.
I think you only find these things if you really go searching for them. But, yeah, and anyway, Robert was playing that for a little while, and unaware that obviously there were some people who followed both him and Cock No Cock, and realised that he was playing along, and or either that, or they just went down his timeline and kept saying cock, no cock, cock, no cock.
Yeah, because I mean, writers, bloggers, journalists will go searching through players' timelines,
oh God, they
looking
will, won't
for
they?
Gold, won't yes, they? Mining yeah, for yeah. for content.
Yes, and they will sit, you know, like an 1849 prospector with their pan dipping through any amount of crap and FIFA high scores, and just to say, yes, a nugget is there. Now, it's always good when you do find a nugget, but I mean, like, normally it's not you or I, it's someone who with a lot more time on their hands. Mm. And you're talking to me, and I have a lot of time on my hands.
Wow.
But not as much as these guys. But of course, that's why we follow lots of people, and in the hope that they'll retweet it.
Yes. So it turns up in your timeline and you say, ha-ha, I'm a clever researcher.
Yeah. Man, as I say, and that's what easy content's all about. Yeah, and that's what easy content is all we're going to have to rely on over the summer, isn't it? Because I know people have been putting out lists of football tournaments, because there's about half a dozen different football tournaments over the summer.
Copa America, Women's World Cup.
Yeah, there's a Gold Cup there as well.
Gold Cup too. Yeah. Oh. There's even some European qualifiers in June.
Did you say the under-21s?
I didn't say the under-21s.
Yeah, that's on there as well. So, yeah. I mean, like, it does go throughout the whole summer. Yeah. But let's face it.
Yeah, international football. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have that same... You don't get that same element of controversy with club football, do you? That much.
No.
Apart from, obviously, unless you... Well, you have to go to extreme lengths to get people talking. You have to physically bite people to get as much, traction.
You have to have a player walking out because there's not enough training balls.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's usually what it takes, isn't it, really?
Or you have to have a confrontation outside of a team bus.
Yeah. Or steal a gold chain.
Steal a gold chain, indeed.
Getting stitched up by the Mexican police.
Indeed. I thought it was Colombian. Anyway.
Was it Colombian?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Characters, though.
Yeah.
Messi, yes, I mean, I've got some sympathy for what you say, because... He is quite machine-like. He's an amazingly talented player.
Agreed, yeah.
And he is, he's full of great flair. He's creative. I mean, if he was a player in the 1970s, I mean, he'd be sort of like one of these, great sort of like maverick footballers that you sort of like recall back then. And you'd like to think he'd probably be, about half a stone heavier as well.
With
a drink problem and a reputation.
Allowed to play with his socks around his ankles.
Very few players get together. Yeah. Or his shirt tucked out. No, he actually does play like that, doesn't he? I beg your pardon. Yeah. But he is very, very disciplined. He's a good pro.
Mm.
He's very disciplined. He looks after himself. He looks after his body, it would seem.
Mm.
And yes, that can make him perhaps when you're looking for flamboyancy, perhaps you're looking for a little bit more character.
Mm.
Ronaldo, his great, great rival.
Yeah.
Again, hardly what you in that class that I've just referred to, but world class, massively dedicated to his skill, but he tends to exude a degree of, I would say, probably, if you're being kind, massive self-confidence. And if you're being unkind, arrogance.
Yeah.
which really winds up people who don't like him, which is also a good thing because I mean, you could. There's nothing finer than getting
you need a panto angry with Cristiano Ronaldo. A panto villain always goes down well, and if you've got a player who's a panto villain, then so much the better. Yeah. I mean, I think this is returning to Balotelli. I think people have tried to paint him as a panto villain, and you just can't do it.
Yeah,
he's far too likable, isn't he?
He is. He does seem to be. Well, he certainly when he's
anyone who dresses up as Santa and gives away money. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's similar anecdotes about when there was that kid at the City training ground who was playing truant and got and he saw him and said, "What are you doing here?" And he ended up taking him to school and spending time to try and get. I mean, this guy, you know, he's nuanced, you know, and you know, and it's difficult to dislike a guy like that.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, he can and does and has done, you know, daft things, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't think he's ever really genuinely hurt anyone. I mean. He's been a burden on our fire service, admittedly. So you could say he's hurt the British taxpayer. But
which we all have to be concerned about now.
Which we all have to be very concerned about now. Well, and another thing as well, all kinds of things. This podcast will be banned in this time next week, by the way, for expressing extreme opinions. How dare you express extreme opinions? You're banned.
Yeah, the underground sound of football. I think that's
the undersound of football.
Undersound. No, that doesn't sound very good at all.
There's too many negative connotations in that statement.
Yeah, that sounds like something I've got to get checked out.
You're thinking of the Chunder sound or something.
Ooh. Yeah. Tune in next time, listeners. So, what do you think footballers can do? Do you think they're too far apart now? Do you think they're too set away? Do you think they're too damn rich?
I don't think it's to do with wealth.
No?
I think it's to do with the machinery around, or the infrastructure around, big clubs now, and that superstar players get snapped up very very young, or they move off to a well established club, and they're looked after like, you know, prize racehorses, and
they are very, very expensive commodities though. I mean, like, these clubs are paying hundreds of millions of pounds if you include the contracts and the wages for them. I mean, like, yeah, this is.
I mean, if you run a stable, you're not going to get a racehorse, bring him in, and then start feeding him vodka and make him stay up all night partying. I mean, it'd be interesting to see a horse doing that.
Yeah,
I'd actually pay to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Terry can point us in the direction of a website with a horse wearing a pair of plastic breasts. Yeah. But I don't think generally you will see that. But
So I think it's the same it's the same sort of thing. I think with footballers, they're kind of looked after. I mean, Ryan Giggs, for example, was sheltered famously by Ferguson. And it wasn't until the Ferguson bowed out that he started shagging anything that moved. Giggs rather than Ferguson. Lawyers. So you know, it's. I think they are sheltered a lot, and I think that's probably to at the expense of their natural personality and the way they are. I mean, you don't become a flair player by not thinking in it in a slightly different way, by wanting to do something that isn't expected. So I think you have to have that kind of little bit of kind of left field about you. But I think that maybe that is maybe great players are being kind of dulled down, and they're not as flamboyant as, like, for example, Maradona was in terms of how they play their game, because their natural kind of, you know, background thinking is kind of so almost regimented now, and they have to do the certain role that they're supposed to do, and we can't afford to have a loose cannon. Even though he might deliver something brilliant, there's still, you know, this whole team machine that's got to go with it.
Is it, do you think, Terry, a rare moment of football clubs taking responsibility for players as well? Do you think they're I'm thinking about players that have been larger-than-life characters during their playing careers, but are now in a very, very bad way because of the exploits they got up to off the field.
Well, there's the guys that we know about, like Paul Gascoigne,
who is very, very
in
famous.
A very bad place now, we understand. And obviously George Best is another one.
Yes.
Who was the QPR guy, Robin Friday? Very, very good player. I never saw him play. There's hardly any footage of him from the 1970s. And in their own way, I mean, even guys like Rodney Marsh, arguably, you know, didn't fulfil their potential. But I suppose, yes, there is a feeling of duty of care now from clubs who, yes, they're kind of protecting their investment. Mm. That's a cold way of looking at it. Slightly warmer way of looking at it is genuine concern. So, well, we don't want these kids to, and they are kids, to to, you know, to go off the rails and get into a, you know, bad habits and.
And maybe reflect badly back in
the, well, on reflect the, badly, yeah, on the club. Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of when the whole book is opened on Paul Gascoigne, a lot of people, a lot of questions are going to be asked about a lot of people around that time when he was playing, and asked what if there was more that could be done, could have been done for him.
Mm.
You know, at the time when he was a player, and perhaps clubs have learned the lesson now. But the downside is that yes, they probably are media trained.
Mm.
They're probably a bit more boring now.
Mm.
They probably spend much more time sitting at home on their PlayStation 4 rather than sort of like going out and getting drunk.
I mean, if I think back to the Arsenal of the 90s under George Graham.
Well, they were fiends.
They were absolutely fiends.
They were
fiends,
utter,
yeah,
fiends. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the book, Paul Merson's book and Tony Adams' book about, like, you know, sniffing coke off the toilet cisterns in pubs is like, you know, it's full of that sort of stuff. Or betting, you know, the price of a house on an American football game that you don't even know about. It's like, you know,
They're really putting their shift.
They made great books.
I salute those guys. Those guys are great. But yeah, but they are only great. You're right. They're only great in terms of entertainment for others.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, all of those guys.
Obviously, the people that were around them at the time, their kids and their then wives were, you know, left in.
in an awful place. Yeah. No, absolutely. And even Michael Owen, with his gambling.
Yeah,
you know, he's done okay for himself out of there, but I mean, he was always came across as being somewhat squeaky clean. But I assume he had a pretty awful gambling habit, and you know, gambling was, you know, very much the thing then. And I guess to a degree, they're having to address the culture of English football, and these guys have become more professional, and yes, consequently, perhaps a bit dull.
Mm. So is it a good thing that they're dull, or a bad thing, or is it just a thing? Yeah,
I think for the sport,
it's
probably a very good thing, because you get to see some athletes at the top of their game.
Yeah,
I think from an entertainment factor, I think it's a little bit disappointing. It's nice to see someone like Cantona, you know, score that goal against in Sunderland and just turn around with his hands on his hips, just nodding. Yes.
Yeah. Look,
did you see that?
But is it good to see him jumping into the crowd and kicking people?
Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful. That is absolutely.
Especially if they're nasty pieces of work anyway, and you really did deserve a good kicking.
It's been said.
Yes, yeah. I've heard that rumour.
Terry, what do you think?
Well, I think that the game is as good as it's ever been, in terms of spectacle, in terms of the quality of the players, the skill of the players. One of the reasons for that is increased professionalisation, and so in that case, yes, I think it is a good thing. There's always circus around football, and people will always look for circus, and they'll always find it.
People are people, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you're always going to have people. Some people are not going to be able to be controlled.
Yeah.
No matter how good your media protocols are, they're never ever gonna stop someone who really wants to bite the shoulder of an Italian defender to actually go ahead and do it. But of course, what they do off the pitch, I mean, as long as they surround themselves with the right people, then they should be able to have that controlled. Mm. But hopefully the next Mario will be just around the corner, just to keep us all amused.
Yes, he's probably about 15 or 16 years old now, and his personality is emerging. And
just been chucked out of school.
I suppose, I suppose that's the thing, though, isn't it, is to what extent does the upbringing make a difference, and to what extent do, you know, perhaps kids with somewhat troubled backgrounds, you know, if they, what is it, do they make it through the system? Will their upbringing, if it's been a poor upbringing, if it's been an unpleasant or nasty upbringing, do they make it through, or are they seen as being not up to it emotionally, and therefore abandoned and cast aside, and they never make it to the top, or never even make it into the professional ranks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. I mean, one of the things that football does, and you can argue whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, is it provides an outlet for people from poverty, for kids from poverty, to make a decent income. And that's the same with almost all professional sports.
Yeah.
Mm.
Certainly the working class sports, boxing, football. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, but as the sport becomes gentrified, will we find that we're getting more kids from who don't have these kind of issues with them? because the clubs just don't have time for them anymore. They're not willing to work.
It is interesting though, because I mean, like you mentioned boxing there, but of course, part of the whole thing about boxing is the show, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
So there is a lot of the stuff at the beginning where you've got like the trash talking and everything like that, and the putting people down, you could say, oh no, that's real there, that's real hate. Yeah, let's face it, they're both professionals, they're both earning money, and they're like, this is how things work, and this is how you get the good TV deals.
And for the most part, they embrace after the game because they've just knocked six bells out of each other. So, you know, they've worked their issues out.
Yeah.
I mean, the trash talking comes from the managers, and maybe those are where the real characters are these
days. Well, they do have a lot of pay-per-views to sell.
Well, of course they are. Yeah. It's just a drum of business, isn't it?
Yeah.
But football coaches perhaps tend to be, because they're a little bit older, perhaps a bit more articulate, and they tend to be the better trash talkers. Obviously, Mourinho being a prime example. But I mean, Ferguson in his own way was a fantastic trash talker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you watch the way that those two examples there, the way that they behave is certainly when they've had an adverse result, they will behave incredibly badly. Mourinho does that like clockwork. As soon as there's a bad result, he goes mental. And the focus isn't on his players, it's on him. Yeah. And he's on the back pages, and maybe a bad display by his team isn't. And so maybe there is even more mollycoddling there, because he's kind of trying to kind of keep the troops happy, and they don't have to worry about it.
I've got this. I'll go out there and I'll take the heat for this by saying something outrageous. Yeah. And in fact, it's not actually that outrageous, but it's and everyone knows he does it.
Yeah,
and everyone gets angry with him when he does it, even though they know why he's doing it. And no one goes, whatever, Jose.
I think we've covered a lot of ground today, and if you've appreciated the irony of us going on about professionalism, then please do get in touch and talk to us. And on that rather sloppy point, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Toby Fellman, and from Yandel, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @SoundOfFootball, or on Facebook.com/SoundOfFootball.
Of Sandball Top Trumps. You'll know that Terry has yet again won, and you, the listeners, are the only competitors that are still left in the game. I have a dwindling pack again. But we're hoping something's around for the listeners this week, aren't we, then?
We are hoping so, yes.
Right, okay. Needs must.
I'm giving Nout away.
Nout away. No, look, your poker face is perfect. It's like made of granite. It is. He looks like one of the statues on Mount Rushmore right now.
Which one?
Abraham Lincoln, I think. Yeah. Just imagine a stovepipe hat on him.
I'm imagining a stovepipe hat.
Yeah. Although I don't think he has a stovepipe hat on the mountain.
No, because it wouldn't be very practical, would it?
Just carved out a stovepipe hat. That would have been impressive.
That would have been brilliant.
See, if I ever go to Mount Rushmore, all I'm going to do now is sit there going, No hat.
Well, they gave Teddy Roosevelt his glasses.
Exactly.
So, come on. Yeah. For shame, America. For shame.
Try better next time.
Come on. Yeah. So, anyway, Terry, you've got your card. You're scratching your head.
I'm literally scratching my head.
Head
because I have an itch. but also, and it's on my head. But also because I'm genuinely puzzled as to what to do. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Who have you got?
I've got Daniela De Rossi.
Right, okay. There you go.
Yeah. He's not very tall. He's not got many caps. He's not scored many goals. He's not got many trophies. And I don't think he's particularly long.
Okay.
So fine. I'm just going to here. And I'm going to go for caps of 71.
You say caps of 71. Who have you got there, yeah?
I've got Mario Gomez. Mario Gomez! Mario Gomez!
Mario Gomez! That's that then.
Caps.
Oh, hang on.
Oh. Caps.
Caps.
51.
Oh my god, we pressed the Mario Gomez button and he's failed.
Mario Gomez.
Mario Gomez.
Mario Gomez.
Mario Gomez. Gotcha. I'm going to whoop your ass next week as well.
Good luck.
Join us again then.
And feature a top
trumpet. Wait, next one.
Join us again for some more fun and larks on next week's Sound of Football. Top trumps.
Oh dear. It's getting hot in here.